Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Good morning. Jesus said, if another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens, that is good. If not, then bring two or three with you and begin again. If this intervention does not work, then the problem is to be taken to the broader church. If the member refuses to reconcile, then exile is the answer. This is one of those aggravating gospels, and I say aggravating because it causes us to be uncomfortable. On one hand, it is the scripture that can be misinterpreted or used for one's own means. On the other hand, it asks for personal courage and serious intent to work for the good of the whole, sacrificing one's personal comfort. In the New Interpreter's Bible, Volume 8, M. Eugene Boring, Professor Emeritus of New Testament at Bright Divinity School, writes that this passage is the beginning of legal procedures for excommunication. It is designed to protect the accused and the accuser, but most especially protecting the offender from prejudices or biases of the accuser. It also helps protect the community from disruption or possible schism. Now, we all know opinions can lead to conflict and separation. We all have opinions. If anyone has been in the Episcopal Church for any length of time, they remember at least three major differences in the past five decades: women's ordination, the new 1979 prayer book, and the ordination and consecration of an openly gay man as bishop. This passage could and has been used to justify publicly calling people out over a disagreement. Yet this gospel is not an excuse to separate ourselves from those with whom we disagree. Rather, it offers an opportunity and a way for us to reconcile our differences and to be transformed by the renewal of our hearts and minds. It is an invitation to listen to one another, and that is a vital part of the process of reconciliation. Our current time is full of conflict and disagreement. It is a tumultuous time where anxiety is evident in many, if not all of us. Living in COVID time affects us partly because it disrupts our ability to plan and it demands change. We don't know what is happening, but it doesn't feel good. Most of us do not like being without answers, so we have a tendency to make up our own solutions when the answers are not obvious. Small problems become a festering point for a new cause. Take, for instance, the difference of opinion regarding the wearing of a mask to protect others and ourselves. It's a very small thing, actually, yet it has been blown into gargantuan proportions due to our anxieties and our fears. We want control. COVID has shown us how little control we actually have. Small things lead to division, anger, or even absolute refusal to talk to those with whom we disagree. Some family members are not talking because it is simpler to ignore one another's political stance than it is to risk an argument. It seems less awkward to say it doesn't matter and bury the difference deep inside, when in truth, it matters a great deal. Because we cannot bury our conflicts and expect to be reconciled to God. The betrayal or the hurt does not go away. The wounds constrain us because these separate us from God and keep us focused on ourselves rather than looking solely to God. When we seek God first, we see outside of our personal self and into the needs of others. Paul's message to the Romans today is to look at love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Yet at some point, we must fully understand what it is to love. Love requires a letting go of self as the center point of our love, of our life. I learned that lesson in 2006 when I attended the funeral of a friend named Bud. Yes, I am from Texas. The preacher was the bishop of Fort Worth at the time. He and I disagreed on many subjects, expressly at that particular point, whether an Episcopal diocese could remove itself from the Episcopal Church. Our differences were so hardened, I sat ready to condemn every word he said. I was unprepared when I heard his words, which spoke of love. What did this man know of love? From his reflection, it was obvious that he loved Bud, that they were close friends. Yet how could this be? I love Bud. I was a friend to him and him to me. I did not like nor respect this man who was talking. As far as I could tell, he did not like me. How could two people holding such contradictory viewpoints on so many things love and be loved by the same person? I suddenly realized that I was actually listening to him, regardless of how willing my heart was to be closed. It became clear. The bishop loved Bud. I love Bud. Bud loved both of us. Therefore, reason told me that we were connected by love. I felt love for this neighbor of mine that I didn't like. I was so moved by this revelation that I sought him out at the reception. His sin against me was no more than mine against him, yet I needed to share with him exactly what had been revealed to me. It was clear that my understanding affected him in a similar way as it had me. He listened, then he smiled, and he held out his hand, and he said, "Yes, this is absolutely true. We do love one another." Now, there is no happy ever after ending to this little story. We continued to vigorously disagree about whether it was possible for an Episcopal diocese to be removed from the Episcopal Church. It is not, by the way. For a while on the evening news, we were point and counterpoint on all things Episcopal in Fort Worth. Yet I was not the same. We had reconciled the idea that we could disagree yet love one another. That was transformational to me. My words no longer held the venom, only a difference of opinion. I would like to think the same happened for him. But it doesn't matter, because it's not always about pointing the fault out the fault of another. Often it is about allowing a truth to be revealed that is greater than either person. Now, this is where the gospel gets a little bit difficult, because sometimes talking, listening, and agreeing are not enough. If those things that separate us are based on unjust beliefs or actions, the problem continues. The gospel calls us out of our feel good, pat ourselves on the back mode, beyond the agree to disagree mode. It calls us to recognize that all relationships are not healthy or just, and that more must be done to right the wrong. Love for one another helps us understand that some of these behaviors cannot be excused, but must be changed. Recognizing the bond that is love is the first step. Setting aside differences allows us to see that we are united by that one thing. Yet those differences cannot be harmful or unjust. Injustice is not simply a matter of opinion. It does great harm to people and to societies. That truth is clearly evident today. Often it is born out of a fear of losing power or authority. Yet, our authority rests solely in God. There is no other authority for a world that seeks justice. Love is the fulfilling of the law. If the injustice continues, the gospel shows us a way to reconciliation. If the person does not listen, or does, yet makes no changes to the unjust ways in which they act, then the conversation is to begin again with more people, and finally, to the church at large, if necessary. This is the basis of our justice system, both in the church and in our society. It is the system by which injustice is resolved and by which hearts and minds are transformed. In Jesus, humanity and God are reconciled. We are a part of that reconciliation. That is our bond. Jesus said, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." It doesn't matter whether we agree or disagree. The most important part of the love is that we hold fast to the ideal of righteousness, not our personal understanding, but that of Jesus, and that we do not adapt to the unjust ways of this world, but that we be transformed by that love. Howard Thurman said, "Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive, and go do it, because what the world needs is people who have come alive." That love that binds us to one another and to God is what makes us come alive. The only thing we owe one another is that love. With that love, we fully obey the law. Amen.